Now this brings me to another question, quite an important one. That is the question of religion in schools, or rather one might say, the teaching of religion in schools. I do know that some of our younger Buddhists have got rather strong views on this particular subject. And I remember that at the summer school held by the Buddhist Society last August at Hai Li, this topic was discussed in a number of the discussion groups which were held then. One might say that not everybody saw eye to eye on this particular topic, but there did seem to be a general consensus of opinion and feeling that there should not be any attempt to impose upon the child the religious beliefs of the teacher. As you probably know, nowadays religious instruction usually means the teaching of the Bible in schools. And generally one may say it is done in a rather dull and unimaginative sort of way. Very often it is done by somebody who doesn't believe in those particular teachings at all. I remember in my own case, when I was at school, we used to be taught Bible by a teacher who was an atheist. And we were taught Bible by him for several months. And the way in which he taught it was certainly not conducive to any kind of faith in Christianity. One can say that he simply ridiculed what he was supposed to be teaching. So this is the sort of thing which can happen. Even if one doesn't find an extreme case of this sort, the fact that the Bible is taught, or that any religious teaching is taught by someone who doesn't really believe in it, can have, one may say, a very dreadful moral effect upon the mind of the child. Children are very perceptive, very quick to understand whether you really believe what you tell them or not. Those of you who have children of your own will know this. Very often you'll have the experience of being asked questions by your children. And you know quite well that you can't very easily fool them. You might think that you've just sort of palmed off some explanation which you think may satisfy them, but which you're not really satisfied with yourself. It may be on some question of general knowledge or science or anything you like. But the child will always detect that sort of ring of lack of conviction in your voice and your slight sort of uneasiness, and the child will know instinctively, intuitively, that you don't really believe what you are saying. And that will undermine your authority with the child. So it's just the same with this teaching of the Bible in schools. The child is all the time subtly aware that the teacher doesn't believe what he is saying. The teacher might, with his conscious mind, in all sincerity, try to put it across. But if he doesn't fully accept it, if there's some lurking doubt in his own mind, or if he's even critical of what he's supposed to be teaching, that doubt or that lack of conviction, that hesitation, will communicate itself through the child. And it may be that the child is left with a sort of impression that this whole business of religion is fundamentally dishonest. And that's why I say that this sort of teaching of whether the Bible or any religion can have a really dreadful moral effect. It will almost convince the child that anything to do with religion is dishonest, so that people are not honest when they discuss religion. So the child will, as it were, by degrees be put off religion, lose interest in it, think it's something in the course of which honesty, sincerity are not possible. So that's what I feel. And I think many people feel that this sort of religious instruction, or this sort of denominational religious instruction, or sectarian religious instruction, should be replaced in schools by the study of comparative religion. This has already been done, I know, in the case of some schools. Sometimes here we get invitations from schools to give lectures on Buddhism, and we are told when we receive the invitation that the sixth form, or some other form, is having a series of talks on comparative religion. That is, the great religions being dealt with one by one. So this is an extremely healthy sign, an extremely healthy development. And instead of trying to ram the tenets of one particular teaching down the children's throats, what is more necessary, what is more required, is that the teacher concerned should try to arouse the interest of the children in and their sympathy for the spiritual quest, as it were, of man himself. They should try to show to the child that the questions which are dealt with by religion or by the various religions in different ways are important questions, and that the children themselves will one day have to face these problems and attempt some sort of solution. They shouldn't just try to hand them one particular religion, as it were, ready-made. There should also be an emphasis on the fact that the acceptance of a particular religion is a personal matter. It's a matter where everybody has to make up his or her own mind, that one cannot, as it were, take one's religion ready-made from some other person. Even if one does accept the religion into which one has been born, one must, as it were, remake it or remould it in the fire of one's own personal conviction and experience. So obviously, a very radical change is needed in the Orthodox Christian attitude towards religious instruction, both in this country and in other Western countries. Very often the impression prevails that if you've got a lot of children coming along for religious instruction, well, there's your opportunity. If you're a Baptist, well, you can get them for the Baptist church. If you're a Catholic, you can get them for Catholicism. If you're a Methodist, then you can get the unfortunate children for Methodism. But this is the idea, usually, to recruit them into your own church, to swell the band of your own believers. This is the usual attitude among Christian bodies. In some quarters, admittedly, some improvement has set in. But it hasn't, we must confess frankly, as yet gone nearly far enough. There still is this very competitive sort of attitude and attempt.